All right, Happy New Year's. Hopefully you're ready to go today. Now, this is a great day to be in church. Let me tell you why. It's the first day of the year, which means you could have got up this morning and said, that's it, I'm reading my Bible every day this year, and it's okay if you haven't done that yet. You still have time today. It's perfect, right? Hopefully you got up, right, and you decided, I'm going to eat healthy. You had your avocado this morning. I know what you had, okay? But see, it's just a great first day to say, I'm going to start over. I'm going to do all these things and go in this new direction and start over on some things. So it's a great day. It's a great day to gather together. It's a great day to be together. And it's a great day to start saying the things that we want to accomplish. So as you look back on 2022, and you see the things maybe, oh, I wish I did this differently. I wish I did this differently. Maybe you kind of look and say, okay, this year's going to be different. So as you look back, are there any regrets you have? Are there any things you wish you did differently? Are there some things that you didn't get accomplished that you wanted to get accomplished? I don't know if you did that. I did it last year, kind of listed goals and then looked at them and kind of laughed. You ever done that? Just laughed and went, yeah, that wasn't happening. What was I thinking? Okay. So try to then, you get a little more realistic the next year looking forward. So as you look back, what do you think about when you think about 2022? Next week, we're going to kind of recap a little bit for the year and where we're going to be going this year as a church. So then, as you look at this year, what's on that list? What are you trying to accomplish? What are some things that you hope happens this year that didn't happen last year? Things you're going to do different. You're not going to get bogged down in certain areas. You're going to do better. There's just some things that we'd like to do, which is, again, a perfect day to get together and gather together in church and say, okay, this year I need the Lord's help to do some things differently, some things that I want to do. So today we're going to talk about some ingredients for change. This is a perfect Sunday to talk about change. It's a perfect Sunday to talk about things we want to do different. Some things we want to do different, and how are we going to do those? Because it'd be easy to sit here and go, God, you just got to help me do it because I can't do it, right? I need help. So the first thing I want to make sure you understand is this. This is not about self-help. This is about Jesus' help. I need to make sure you understand that. If this was self-help, this is how I would start this. Open up your Kindles to the latest self-help book, okay? And let's look at what we need to do this year to do it differently. That's how we would start this message. Open up your Kindle. Open up the latest self-help book because there's dozens of them, aren't there, okay? There's one about habits. There's one about change. There's one about eat differently, do this differently, spend 5 minutes a day doing this. There's these people who think, you know, you can kind of organize your life if you just give it like 2 minutes a day. I have no idea how those people do it. So there's all these books out there. That's what we would do. So I want to make sure you understand that because it's very easy to do this, to just to kind of slip into self-help. And we're just like, you know, I just got to do better myself this year. I just got to grind harder. No. What I want you to embrace this year is that you and I need Jesus more. That's really our problem. Our problem is we have too much self-help. We've helped ourselves to all sorts of stuff. We've helped ourselves to all sorts of problems. We've gotten ourselves in all sorts of traps. We've got ourselves in all sorts of predicaments. We don't need more self-help because self-help got us where we are. It got us exactly where we're at. It got us exactly stuck in the mess we're in. We need the help of Jesus. So I want to make sure you understand that up front. Because I think too often, you know, we just lose sight of that and get it. The worst thing, I'm just telling you this morning, here's a little kick. If you're ever searching online for someone to preach, you know, for someone to listen to, you're bored and want to listen to a sermon, you're like, I don't want to hear it again, okay? It's okay, okay? You're doing that. Let me tell you, if you ever hear these words, shut them off. I have heard 3 different guys say this. Today I will be preaching from my book. I kid you not. That's how it started off. That's how the message started off. Today I'll be preaching from my book. Click, okay? No, okay? Unless your name is Jesus, this isn't your book, and I don't know what you're preaching from, okay? Bad idea. So if you ever hear that, just shut it off. Don't have anything to do with that, okay? So it's not about self-help. It's about Jesus' help. So here we go. We're going to be in the book of John this morning. So I don't know if you started out, you had your Bible app open this morning. Maybe it's a great way to start, okay? Maybe you had your Bible open. You're like, this year I'm going to make it. So you know what you started with this morning? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, if I were, and this is bad, I probably shouldn't say this, but I will. If I were to lay out the Bible, I would have started the New Testament with John. Can I tell you why? Because then the old and the new would almost parallel one another. Because Genesis 1:1 is, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You know what John 1:1 is? In the beginning, there's our same three words again, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It is a great passage. So I want to give you a few of those verses in John chapter 1, where he's talking about this Word, and he's talking about Jesus, and it's what Jesus gives us that's so important, that you and I need. We need these things this year. We need these ingredients badly in our life if 2023 is going to be different than 2022. We need these things. So we're going to begin in John chapter 1, verse 14, which, by the way, is John's Christmas verse. If you ever wonder, you know, did Matthew and Luke are the only ones that get to write the Christmas story? No, Paul gave us a verse, and John gave us a verse. And here's John's verse. Here it is. Now the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. The Word became human and took up residence. The literal word there is the word tabernacle. But it would just sound weird, wouldn't it? And he took up tabernacle. He tabernacled among us because it's trying to give us the picture that of the Old Testament. That's God's presence. That's the glory of God there. So that's literally the word John uses. So the Word becomes flesh. He takes up residence among us. We saw, John says, his glory. The glory of the one and only, and this is really important, full of grace and truth, who came from the Father. It continues, for we have received from his fullness one gracious gift after another. Wouldn't that be great? Would you look back at 2022 and say, I got one gracious gift after another. That God was so good, I could look and I could see one gracious gift after another in my life. Then he says this, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came about through Jesus Christ. So can I talk to you about those two things? Grace and truth, because these are huge. We need both of these working together in our lives. And this is what Jesus offers us. He offers us grace and he offers us truth. So we're going to look at this, grace. And this is how we're going to look at grace today. Unconditional love and acceptance. Absolutely foundational. Everybody needs this. Unconditional love and acceptance. That is the grace of God. Unconditional. Not based on conditions, based on what he has done. We have such a different faith. Our faith is not based on what we do. It's always based on what Jesus has done. So grace, what we need is unconditional love and acceptance. Man, that would change our year. That would totally change our year if we know Jesus loves us, accepts us unconditionally. Okay? But that's only one part. That's only one part. And a lot of people quote all the grace verses, which are wonderful. Except there's another part to all this that's really important. And you can't take one or the other. You have to take both because they're both so vital. And the second part of that is truth. Truth is what is real. It is the structural aspect of his character. Okay? It is what is real. So this is why, for example, and you will see this all the time in the Gospels. You should read them and watch for these interactions. For example, John chapter 8. Who does he encounter? He encounters the woman caught in adultery. And, right, everybody's just ready. They got their stones ready, and they're just going to throw them at her and end her life, and that's what they wanted to do. And what does Jesus do? He looks at them, and he says, okay, none of you guys ever broke God's command? Throw away. Lean back and just let it go. And they all drop their stones. He looks at the woman. He says, I don't condemn you either. There's the grace. Unconditional love and acceptance. Then he does what? Because everybody wants to end it there. No. Go leave your life of sin. There is both in that story. There is both in the story of John chapter 4 where he encounters the woman at the well. There is both grace and there is truth. There is both always with Jesus working together because we need both. We need both. And in fact, one of the struggles we have is most of us, this is just the way it is, grew up in a home where one or the other was dominant. I don't want to say one or the other was totally absent. That's normally not how it goes. But one was way more dominant than the other. Either you grew up in a house in which was dominated by grace, or you grew up in a house that was dominated by truth. And sometimes we just go and repeat that, or sometimes you went and said, I'm never going to be like my parents did to me, and you're just the total opposite of that. Okay? So however you grew up, whatever your house was like, that was the struggle. All parents, we mess with the struggle of how to do both, because Jesus does both perfectly, and if we learn to follow him, he can help us learn how to do it. Because I need to show you what happens when we miss one, okay? Here we go. Truth without grace is condemnation. Grace without truth is license. In other words, you're just always condemned, like you're always wrong. Wrong, 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 right? You never match up. You never, let me tell you, we use the word legalistic a lot. I wanted to pick out a different word today because I wanted to talk about the results of it. When all there is law, when all there is law. And I'm telling you, I understand this environment because that was the school in which I went to, which was a very legalistic. And all anybody felt is, and I've talked to enough people who have nothing to do with Jesus since then, I'm just condemned. I'm just condemned. I'm just condemned all the time. Wrong, 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 wrong. All right? And that's the way it came out, okay? So truth without grace, when there's no grace, when there's no unconditional love acceptance, you just feel condemned all the time, all the time. Like you can never live up. You can never meet the standard. You can never live up to it. You're just out. You just don't have a chance. The other is also important, that grace without truth is just license. It's just do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. Oh, I know you didn't mean it. Just try better later. You know, it's just this license of live however you want, do whatever you want. You have to have both. And you have to have both together. And this is what Jesus does so incredibly, that walking with him, getting the Jesus help instead of the self-help, we are going to get both grace and truth working together, giving us exactly what we need to change the things in our life that need to be changed. The unconditional love and acceptance, but the truth. Sometimes I know it's January 2nd. You already lost out. Okay. Which, by the way, do you know the one thing you should not try to do on New Year's, especially when New Year's is on a Sunday? You shouldn't say, I'm going to cut down on my caffeine this year. Okay. That doesn't work. Okay. Bad resolution if we got church going on. Okay. So, and maybe it's like 3 days in, and you're like, oh, what am I going to do? Okay. Because I've already failed. No, it's not condemnation. Grace. And then it's truth. This is really important. We need to change. You need to be more Christ-like. We need to work on this area. You have to have both working together. Grace and truth together invite us out of isolation and into relationship. That's what they do. Because we need to get out of isolation into relationship. This is what Jesus desires for us. Get out of doing this yourself. Walk with me, follow me, because grace and truth is going to be together. Which, by the way, this is what the church is supposed to be as well. We are supposed to, because we walk with Jesus, experience grace and truth together. So now because I'm experiencing it from Jesus, I can look at the person next to me and give them the same thing, grace and truth. It's so important. It's so vital because it does just that. We need to walk with Jesus and Jesus' church to walk with each other out of isolation and into relationships where we can continue to be more and more like Christ. That's the calling he has for us to do. The third ingredient, time. Yeah, right, you just thought, oh, it's grace and truth, it's going to be simple. No, there's this thing that, let's just be honest, we don't do good with this, right? We can just be honest. It's why most New Year's resolutions fail by Groundhog's Day, okay? That's why. That's why, okay? because there's this element in there called time. We need time, that grace and truth along with time help us to be more and more like Christ. Let me show this to you, okay? Redemptive time. It's not just time. I got to pass minutes and hours. It's redemptive time. This is what Jesus does with it, with us. He redeems it in our life, and he uses it in a far more powerful way than just seconds running by and minutes running by and hours running by and days running by. He does something powerful with the time. So, I told you Paul had a Christmas verse. Here it is. But when the appropriate time had come, God sent out his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law. All about right time. All about right time. That the perfect time. That the perfect time. At the time when there would be the most impact of what the gospel was supposed to do and how it could change the world, that's when Jesus came. At the perfect time, because he redeemed it. And he stepped into time in order to do that. Now, there's something else I want to show you as well. And this is from Acts chapter 4. So this is Jesus has risen again. He has ascended into heaven. And now the church has begun. And it has been Pentecost. And they've gathered together. And everybody's like, whoa, what is going on here? Okay? So in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John see a man healed at the temple. And it just creates this huge stir, okay? Because, oh my goodness, what is going on? The Sanhedrin, the people in charge, they thought they had it all under control. They got Jesus killed. We got him out of the way. They even created their own narrative around his resurrection by saying, oh, the disciples stole the body. Okay, they had it all under control. And then this happens. Here's what they note about Peter and John. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, like, who are these guys? And discovered that they were what? Uneducated and ordinary men. Now, just understand, they did not go to rabbinical school. At some point, they got to the point where somebody patted them on the shoulder and said, Peter, you're a nice kid. No. Sorry, you don't have what it takes, okay? So go home, your dad, and learn your father's trade, but rabbinical school, no, you're not going to be a rabbi. No rabbi wants you to follow them, okay? No, nobody does. John, the same way. You can follow this pattern with these guys. So when Jesus comes to them and says, follow me, do you understand why it was such a huge deal? Why they're like, fishing? Forget that, okay? Why did they do that? Because they had been waiting for this their entire life. And all they got told was, nah, you're not smart enough. You're not bold enough. You're not good enough. You're not something enough. And you're not in. So now they get in. And now this group of leaders that already got Jesus out of the way is going, wait a minute. They didn't go to my rabbi school. Did they go to your rabbi school? And they find out they haven't been to any of them. They flunked out. They weren't in any of that training. Watch what it says. So they're uneducated. They're ordinary. I just love this. They're ordinary. They're just like everybody else. Wait a minute. We're the rabbis. We're the Sanhedrin. We're the smart people. They're just ordinary. Watch what it says. They were amazed and they recognized, or they take note, that these men had been, just substitute the word, spent time with Jesus. In other words, you know what they saw? They saw what happens when grace and truth and time work together. And they're standing back going, I don't know who these guys are. This is amazing. We don't know who they are. And so the only thing they can try to do is shut them up and do things, and they couldn't stop anything. And even one of the members of Sanhedrin said, listen, if this is of God, you're not stopping this. Good luck. And trying to get them to understand grace, truth, and time working together. Following Jesus day after day after day after day after day builds up, makes a difference. And let's just be honest. We're not patient about anything. Anybody else, you know, when you're standing at a microwave going, come on, I don't have another 10 seconds, okay? Anybody been there? And you just feel stupid, don't you? You're just sitting there. And by the way, I will give my pet peeve about, I don't know who controls the light system in Indianola, but you're doing a terrible job, okay? You're doing a terrible job, okay? Because I'm just sitting there like, really? Come on, turn. And I don't know, it seems like 5 minutes, it's probably 30 seconds, but that's what happens, right? We have no time. We have no time. It's come on, go. And most of us live this way and we shrunk it down that there is no time for grace and truth and time to work together and transform us and change us into the likeness of Jesus. We just don't have time. We're busy. We got so much going on. We have so much taking place. We have so much, and things are just not fast enough and quick enough, and that's what we want. We want microwave discipleship. Do you know Paul did the same thing? But right after, and he tells this story in Galatians chapter 1, but right after I departed to Arabia and then returned to Damascus, most scholars believe that Paul, Saul, when he encounters Jesus, takes 3 years. See, didn't you miss that part of the story? I did. Wait a minute, didn't he just become, bam, he's just Paul. He's just Paul, overnight, boom. Yes, he did show up at the synagogue, and they're all looking at him going, why are you here? Are you here to kill us all? I mean, they're all freaking out. Then he takes 3 years. You ever thought how long the disciples were with Jesus? About 3 years? Isn't that interesting? Right? I don't know about you, I want 30 seconds. Can't 30 seconds flip a switch, change. And we want this instantaneous, and Jesus is like, just walk with me. Let grace, truth, and this little thing that's bugging you, I know, this thing called time, just keep walking with me and watch the cumulative change that takes place over time. Just watch it. Just watch it take place. Just watch it happen. It's going to take a little time. It's not going to be instantaneous. Don't get to next Sunday and show up and be like, I thought I'd be instantly transformed in a week. Nope, it takes longer than that. Sorry, it takes a little bit longer than that to have grace and truth and time working together to transform us into the likeness of Jesus. Peter, John, Paul, add it up. Grace, truth, time. All the people we marvel at, wow, man, look at them. They're so good at following Jesus. You know, all these people, you've read their stories, you maybe read their biographies, and you're just like, what? I'm just telling you, these three things were at work in their life. Following Jesus gave them the grace and truth and added in that element of redemptive time. Watch what Jesus will do with time as we're following him and embracing this grace and truth over and over and over and over again. See, that's what we need. If 2023 is going to be different, that's what we need. Grace, truth, and time. I'm telling you, you can get to the end of the year and look back and be amazed at what happens when you just consistently follow him. Don't let anybody else tell you what that looks like, okay? That doesn't mean you got to get up and read an entire book of the Bible tomorrow, okay? That's not what that means. Don't let anybody stick you in that mold. What does it look like to just follow Jesus every day? Just to do what he says we're supposed to do. Just start there. Just start in the Gospels. Where Jesus says, do something, do it. Just do it. Just do it. And you're going to be like, why would I do that, right? You might argue with the Bible at some point. You might argue with scriptures. Just get up and do it. Skip and do it. And watch over the year grace, truth, and time work together and make us more and more like Jesus. If you want an instantaneous, I don't know what to tell you. It's not in Scripture. It isn't. We conveniently miss things. For example, Moses. We tend to miss that Moses was a shepherd in the desert for 40 years. Wait a minute. Didn't you just get up one day and part the Red Sea and just, you know, get the people? No. In fact, if you really want to be discouraged, that he was 40 when he leaves Egypt. He's 40 when he returns, 40 more years. He's 80. Most of us don't look at 80 and go, yeah, by then, watch. Yeah, no, we don't think of it that way. We want to do it now. Now. Younger, quicker, faster. That's what we all want. And that's not how following Jesus works. Grace, truth, time. Consistently walking with him. So I want to pray for us today. And then we're going to sing Amazing Grace together because we need to be reminded. John Newton, I'm telling you, that is an amazing story. You ought to read it because there was an individual, grace, truth, time, goes from being the captain of a slave ship to pastoring a church. How do you do that? Grace, truth, time. He didn't just wake up one day and write those words. He had a whole life of experience of walking away from Jesus and then a part of life walking with Jesus and experiencing those things together. May you experience those this year, and may God work in our hearts and lives and put those things together this year. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for us this morning. I pray for all those who are watching online, in the room. We have been so conned by our culture to think it's younger, faster, quicker. And we just watch. Everything's younger. You got to be younger. You got to be faster. You got to be quicker. That we've almost negated this whole thing called time. Grace, truth, and time together make an incredible difference. So, Father, I pray for everyone. That every day we'll get up and decide today is a day to follow Jesus. It's a day to experience truth. And it's a day to experience grace. To do that every day. The year will take care of itself. You have a way of redeeming the time and doing something amazing and incredible with it. So, Father, I pray as we sing this familiar song, we'd be reminded the man who wrote this was transformed by those things. Grace, truth, time. May we experience the same thing this year as you work in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen.